the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. It is May 26th. I am opening a work session on several bills. The first one is House Bill 5011, Senator Frederick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, House Bill 5011 is the budget bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends a budget of $4.7 million general funds, $6.9 million other funds, and $6 million federal funds, for a total biennial budget of $17.7 million. The budget includes 43 positions and 42.92 FTE. The budget is a 2% decrease from the 2015-2017 legislatively adopted budget. The budget includes carry forward of information technology resources provided by the Emergency Board in May 2016 and makes permanent a chief information officer position that will allow the department to continue with its IT remediation plan. The budget retains experienced highly technical subject matter experts that have been limited duration for several biennia, reclassifies five positions, and eliminates a vacant management position. The budget provides the Mine Land Regulation and Reclamation Program with an estimated ending balance of $401,090 in other funds, which is approximately 3.3 months of operating costs. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the key performance measures. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5011 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Representative Stark and then Representative Brissett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of a generic comment. We're going to be voting on a number of general fund budgets this morning, and as the instead of repeating myself each time, I'll make and for the interest of time, we'll not do that each time. And one generic statement, I know as we come upon a season where we are going to be looking at all sorts of opportunities to increase revenue, there's still great concern in the minority party that we haven't taken the efforts that we should be taking to grow the economy, long-term commitments to growing the economy, long-term commitments to reducing the cost curve and rather than just one-time cuts. And so until we see those, I would expect that there will be continue to be a number of no votes on general fund budgets and a lack of consensus on that. But that's been an ongoing dialogue. That's nothing new, but just thought I'd put that on the record.
Thank you. Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'll make some similar comments. There's no disrespect to the subcommittee members and their chairs, but until I have a better understanding of the large agency budgets, I'm hesitant to vote for general fund expenditures. I may support the agency's budget on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am in favor of this budget, and I'll work on the same things with it. I just I'm concerned that they're becoming geographers more than geologists. They like to write maps, and I get a little encouraged. I would like to make sure that they have some good geographers as well as geologists, because sometimes the answers are different to some of those questions. And they have been receptive to conversation, so I am pleased with that. But I get nervous about some of the actions that they've taken, I think, ahead of time before they should have, without talking to people. So, thank you.
Additional discussion? Objections? Keep your hands up till we note them, please. Stark, Huffman, Wisnant. Motion passes. House Bill 5016, Bureau of Labor and Industry, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5016 is the budget bill for the Bureau of Labor and Industries, BOLI. The mission of the Bureau is to protect employment rights, advance employment opportunities, and protect access to housing and public accommodations free from discrimination. And your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends a budget of $28,072,956 total funds and 102 FTE or positions, 100.88 FTE for the 2017-19 biennia. The recommended budget estimate eliminates two positions in the wage and hour division and one position in the civil rights division. consistent with the 2017-19 co-chair's existing resources framework and target reduction lists. These positions include a civil rights field representative one position, a field representative position associated with the wage and hours division live entertainment telephone line, and a wage and hour division compliance specialist position. Expenditure limitation associated with the heavy highway supportive services program was adjusted to remove calculated inflation, as revenue to support this program comes from a contract based on a fixed amount of funding. In recent years, recent reporting years, the Bureau has surpassed its key performance measure targets related to minority participation in apprenticeship programs and the percentage of hearings scheduled within 30 days of assignment to the administrative prosecution unit, which adjudicates contested wage and hour and civil rights cases. Therefore, targets for these two measures are recommended to be adjusted upward. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5016 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious what the conversation was around the reducing funding to the Civil Rights Division. Is there anyone
who... LFO, please. Co-chairs, Representative Stark. The budget, as proposed by the Legislative Fiscal Office, basically conforms to the existing resources framework and the targeted reduction options that were submitted by the co-chairs for the purpose of balancing the overall statewide budget. These were reductions that were put forward by BOLI as part of their 10% reduction options. And so we worked with them in anticipating or in selecting the ones that would be most appropriate to meet those reduction targets.
Thank you.
Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Same comments as the House Bill, House Bill 5011 on this budget bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. One thing that disturbed me a little bit with the pony. And I don't blame the carrier at all, because I know they're written for us before we deliver them. Talked about what it does for labor, talks about what it did for housing, but I didn't hear anything about what it does for industry. It's a labor or bureau, it's a Bureau of Labor and Industry. And either it would indicate they're not doing anything for industry, or maybe I missed it, but I think we need to keep the balance here. And if this is carried elsewhere, I would like to make sure that if that is a part of any carry in the future. Thank you.
Yes, Senator Manning.
Well, there was one reference to expenditure limitation associated with the heavy highway supportive services program. That's industry, I think.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Carrier, if I may, but in your opening statement, you said what the department does, and I didn't hear anything in that opening paragraph of what it does. You said it does this for labor, this for labor, this for housing, but it didn't say anything that part of its mission was what it does for industry. That's my point.
You're right.
Further discussion? Objection. Stark, Huffman, Wisner, Gerard. Did we get them all?
God, Rick, I'm really fighting this week.
Motion passes.
He's on by.
House Bill 5018, State Library, Senator DeBlore.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Oregonians, after our speech on the Senate floor today. House Bill 5018 is a budget bill for the Oregon State Library. The library provides library services to support state government operations, reading materials for Oregonians with print disabilities, and leadership and resources to promote the development and support of local libraries. The General Government Subcommittee approved a total budget of $16 million, which includes a general fund budget of $3.9 million, and other funds budget of $6.8 million, and a federal funds budget of $5.3 million. The budget includes 42 positions and 40.04 FTE. This budget is a 5.3 increase from the 2015-17 legislative approved budget and a 1.5 decrease from the 2017-19 current service level budget. The subcommittee approved two reduction packages, including a decrease to the Ready to Read program to achieve targeted reductions within the co-chair's existing resources budget framework. The subcommittee also approved key performance measures and targets for the state library with instruction the agency review KPM 1, which measured the number of research assistant transactions for state employees, determine if it's appropriate outcome measure for services provided by government research services staff, or propose a new measure for the 2019-21 biennium. The General Government Subcommittee recommends HB 5018 be amended by the -2 amended and be reported out to do pass as amended. As a little side note, the committee was very concerned about the Ready to Read program and interested in looking for funding for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Ms. Co-Chair. When we were reviewing this particular budget, this is really alarming. In view of where we are with education in the state, the Ready to Read program has been performing and providing a very critical service to our students. Not only that, there is a place of gathering where students that don't have food actually go to some of these locations, and they're getting fed at the same time. I would hope that we will fully fund this program, because this is something that we need to continue as we are chipping away at funding for public education. Again, I am in favor of full funding of pre-K through college, and I believe that there is a way that we can get there. But this one is very vital. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Senator Hanson.
Question for the carrier.
Yes.
Do you know how many John Grisham novels the library, state library, has?
16.
Discussion. Yes. Representative Gomberg and then Rosa.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. And I just wanted to echo the comments of my my subcommittee colleagues that the Ready to Read program was certainly an intense subject of conversation. And we certainly hope that when we get to the end of session with the reconciliation measure, that there's some opportunity to restore some of the cuts to Ready to Read.
Thank you. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Same comments on this budget as I made for House Bill 5011. However, I'd like to amend it to be sure that my grandson, 12-year-old grandson, knows I love libraries, and I support the comments about the Ready to Read program, and I'll be sure that they get a budget. Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes. Senator Devlin.
I'm sure this is true for all the members of the subcommittee, but the subcommittee chairs have actually highlighted this item as one of the first things they'd like to add back. I think the co-chairs of Ways and Means would like to restore part of this. Little known in this is the cut would have even been more than this if the co-chairs of Ways and Means hadn't moved some money to actually get it down to this level. But I think it's fairly high on our priorities. And if in our discussions we can't cover 100, 150, or 200,000 of this cut, there is probably something wrong in this building.
Further discussion? Objections. Representative Wisnant, Huffman, Stark. Motion passes. Senate Bill 5515, District Attorneys and Their Deputies. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5515 is the budget bill for district attorneys and their deputies. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends a budget of $12,502,083 general fund and 36 positions for the 2017-19 biennium. This is a 5.3% increase over the 2015-17 legislative approved budget level. The recommendation includes the roll-up costs for cost of living adjustment provided during the current biennium. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the agency's key performance measures. The Europe Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5515 be amended by the Dash 1 amended, be reported out, do pass, and I urge an aye vote.
Discussion, Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I'll be a no on this budget. We struggle with parity with our public defenders every year, and the fact that we're using general fund to backfill pay at county positions while we're still trying to get parity for our public defenders concerns me.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I do agree with my colleague that we put a lot of emphasis on the district attorneys, but we paid little attention to public defenders who are heavily overworked, understaffed, and the low caseloads continue to increase. So I would hope that in somewhere down the line or in the near term, we can find some resources and funding that would also help the public defender's office as well. Thank you.
Representative Stark and then Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. And I would echo those statements. And ironically, roughly 24, 25 of our counties think that we underfund our DAs and choose to supplement that funding with additional salary there. And that makes there's two issues with that. One, that means the counties think we're underfunding them. And two, that means the disparity is even greater than what we fund them at.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Same comments again as House Bill 5011, but I also join my honorable Representative Williamson's comments. I've served on public safety for many sessions, and I do believe that's the primary function of government, and I think hope the co-chairs will look at this and they make their final determination and add more to the public safety. Thank you.
Senator Hansel.
I may thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Perhaps I could add a little bit different reminder to this discussion, is that the deputy DAs, except for the supplement that we provide from the state funds, are totally funded by local county budgets. The DA has a supplement, and the state fully funds, as I understand, completely funds a public defender. So all we're doing here, my concern is that we're helping the counties pick up a load, and the state completely pays for the public defender. So I'm not all that the difference in stuff. I'll be a yes vote on this, but it's just we're not picking up the fund. The DA is a state employee, so that's where the paid by the state, elected locally. In some cases, the county does supplement that, but the deputy DAs are totally the responsibility of county budgets, except for the little bit of enhancement that we send. So two different funding sources, and I will be a yes vote.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Rayfield.
Yes, Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess over the past couple of weeks in the Ways and Means hearings, I've started to get a little frustrated because I will sit, we'll pass budgets periodically, and I will hear from certain members on this committee that we need to add more money to these budgets. I then also hear these same members talk about how we're not doing cost containment when the budgets we're passing actually include cost containment. And I get this dissonance and frustration because I can't figure out whether we want more money in these budgets or whether we want to make cuts in these budgets. And it's entirely frustrating when we sit here and our job is to govern and we're repeating basically the opposite on some of these budgets. And it's extremely frustrating. And so I just felt that I needed to say that, and that I think that we need some consistency as we go forward, because what it seems to me is the values of this entire committee is that what we want, the values that we want in these budgets, the ideals that we're striving for, means that we need to invest more in some of these budgets. But the only way that we're going to get to do that is through cost containment and revenue. So I hope we keep that in the forefront of our heads as we go forward, as in continuing what I would say both the Senate President and the Speaker have put together bipartisan work groups that are working very hard on this on all different levels. And so I just would hope that people keep this in their minds as we go forward and we try to work on a revenue package and look for these investments, which I can hear all of the members on this committee want invested.
Thank you. Representative Wisnett?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Honorable committee members, I hope that I've said in my majority and on this committee in the majority and the minority, I think all the people expressing their opinion have a right to express that opinion, and especially in the minority, because we didn't see any of this material until this morning. We try to make what we think is the right votes and the right comments for the citizens of Oregon. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the discussion on this budget, and I also appreciate the clarity that was offered by Senator Hansel as to the various funding streams and how this particular budget and body is put together. You know, he is correct that the DAs are state employees and therefore are funded as a state body, where the deputies are funded by the counties, and he explained what happens on the defense side. So I really appreciate it. I also appreciate the comment made by my by Representative Rayfield. Truly, as a body, we are a body that is responsible for balancing budgets. And so I appreciate the thorough discussion that happened this morning on this particular budget.
Thank you. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. I'm actually struggling with comments made just a moment ago. I feel like none of us really has the opportunity to fully express our desires or motives or the overall intent of how we would or would not look at each and every budget. We get a small snippet of opportunity to speak to that. So when we look at billions of dollars in a budget, you know, some of us would say $200,000 for ready to read is a major priority. And when it comes to cutting budgets and cutting expenses, I know of roughly 60 or so ideas and proposals that have been put forward that have not all been considered. And so to make statements about inconsistency or frustration, well, that means we have a difference in opinion on significant matters throughout the state. And that's okay, because we are of different, you know, that's why you have a majority and a minority party. And if we were evened up 30-30, we would have to do that out a little bit better. But as is, you know, we have the freedom and the ability to express when we disagree with amounts, whether they're a small amount or a large amount. And so I expect that conversation will continue. That's why we are all elected from different areas, and that it's a frustrating process. I understand that. It doesn't mean we should be venting that every single time in here. Now, that being said, on the DA budget, I wish that we had more resources in there to fund it differently, to fund the entire public safety department there or committee. And that being said, with the resources that have been allotted to it, I think that funding them at the level that we have put forward is wise, and I'm going to support that vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Objections? Yeah. Williamson? Wisnett? Motion passes. Senate Bill 5544, continuing resolution, Senator Devlin.
SB 5544 allows state agencies without legislatively adopted budgets for the 2017-19 biennium to continue operations at the same level as the last quarter of the 2015-17 biennium until the budget is passed. Expenditures authority for 25-17 biennium will end on June 30th, 2017. Without a continuing resolution, agencies without a budget signed by the governor are not authorized to spend beyond that date. The amounts authorized to be spent during the time the continuing resolution is in effect will be determined by the Department of Administrative Services through administrative rule. The amounts can be adjusted to reflect pending legislation. Pending legislation means a bill that has at least passed out of a budget subcommittee or full committee. Special provisions are provided for the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority due to the nature of the budgets of these two agencies. The continuing resolution is repealed September 15th, 2017. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends SB 5544 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments and be reported out due pass as amended. And Madam Chair, just by way of just reference, for those members that are new to Ways and Means, we pass one of these every session, every long session. So it's nothing new for unique to this session.
Thank you, Senator. In other words, SAP. Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. Senate Bill 87A relating to quality management services for information technology initiatives. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. Good morning, colleagues, and happy Memorial Weekend. Senate Bill 87 gives the Chief Information Officer needed flexibility in determining the circumstances under which state contracting agencies and public corporations must obtain independent quality management services when implementing information technology initiatives. Current law requires independent quality management oversight services to be obtained if the estimated cost of an IT initiative exceeds $5 million, regardless of project risk or complexity. Senate Bill 87 would allow the state CIO to relieve state contracting agencies and public corporations from the obligation to obtain these oversight services under certain circumstances. The measure would also permit the state CIO to require that oversight services be obtained for IT initiatives with estimated costs below $5 million under certain circumstances. Finally, Senate Bill 87 requires the state CIO to submit an annual report to the legislative fiscal officer that identifies IT initiatives for which the value exceeds $5 million and the state CIO determines that quality management services are not necessary, along with the rationale for those determinations. Madam Co-Chair, your General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 87 to be reported out due pass.
Discussion.
Thank you. I'm going to support this, and I'm going to support the next one. But it strikes me that what is missing right now is some kind of a technology plan. It feels sort of haphazard. We've had problems with QA, quality assurance, in previous contracts that led us into box canyons. We talk about our vaunted security, and yet DEQ just got hacked. And we have hired a chief information officer with the idea of sort of being the sheriff in Dodge City, and I just don't see the sheriff's plan. It feels to me as though we're doing these one-off bills, and we still don't have my favorite facility, the data center, up and functioning. I yearn for some kind of articulation of what an overall strategy for security and IT management is, and it feels to me to be missing in action.
Thank you. Further discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 90B relating to information technology security. Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, colleagues and Oregonians. Senate Bill 90 stems from Executive Order 1613, which was implemented in response to recent information technology security audit findings, breaches, and other vulnerabilities among state executive branch agencies. Senate Bill 90 requires state agencies and the state CIO, that's Chief Information Officer, to cooperatively develop and implement a plan to consolidate affected state agency information technology security functions within the office of the state CIO. The measure further requires state agencies to cooperate with the state CIO's security assessment and remediation program, follow unification instructions, conduct and document completion of specific training, report information, and participate in activities as directed by the state CIO. Senate Bill 90 establishes the Oregon Cybersecurity Advisory Council to advise the state CIO on cybersecurity issues and to provide a forum for which issues to be discussed. Finally, the measure directs the state CIO to develop and submit a plan to the Legislative Assembly for establishment at a Cybersecurity Center of Excellence by January 1st, 2019. Upon review of the plan, the legislator can determine whether, and if so, in what time frame, to authorize an establishment of the center. The General Government Subcommittee recommends SB 90 be amended by the dash B-12 amendment and be reported out as due pass. And for those that didn't sit through the meetings, given the new decision-making model that would be imposed by the bill, cost and savings are indeterminate at this time. It is likely that some projects and agencies will have savings because the State Chief Information Officer will determine that there are projects over $5 million that do not need contract for quality management services. It is also likely that some agencies with projects under the $5 million threshold will be required to incur additional costs for such services over what is anticipated under current law.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Just to amplify on my previous remarks, this is a step towards what I was complaining about in the last bill. However, while we're thinking about security and advising about security and forming advisory committees, we're getting hacked.
Representative Wisdom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back to my comments on this bill, not a budget bill, the bill, the same thing I said in House Bill 5011. I think this is important. We all know this is important to come up with something. I'm concerned about the total cost being indeterminate, but looking at $8.5 million. So, again, I hope that I can support it on the floor, but I'll be a no now. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Objections? Representative Wisdom. Motion passes. That's the end of our agenda. Mr. Rocco, is there anything else that I haven't completed? I'm closing this work session, and we are adjourned.
Kim, I'm going to smile you up. $8 million. That would satisfy all my business.